Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support. Views don't necessarily represent those of our sponsors.
Yeah, I want to talk about SCG.
What about them?
About the $300 Modern Masters boxes.
Yeah.
I have a strong opinion about it. I think Jeebus actually painted pretty well, good argument about the whole thing. And, yeah. So what are you guys' thoughts about it, the $300 boxes?
What's the point of having a set to reduce the prices? If they're going to charge $300 a box and then everyone else is going to follow suit.
So yeah, you like, feel
it's not going to help. And they're like, yeah, it's the perfect, it's 24 packs. So you can do a draft with your friends. Like, yeah, cool guys. Everybody pony up $40.
Yeah, because SCG has an they're not necessarily a monopoly. Of course there's competition, but they set the market price. They are the market price. And I feel by that they have an unfair. They're just doing this the wrong way, and it's appalling.
Well, they're going to, like, wring as much money out of this game as they can, and then they're going to, like, completely price the game out of existence. But then they'll move on to something else.
So, I mean, the boxers were already going on eBay for $200, right, before SCG price search?
Yeah.
$220 to $230.
Okay, well, I mean, is SCG not always 30% over the market on everything? Like, it's not like they jacked it up unfairly. Their singles are all 30% over eBay, at least.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's their singles, and they could get away with that because it's like, you know, it's below the radar somewhat. And pre-releases, you know, they're pre-releases. Of course, pre-releases are going to be insane prices that people aren't going to really normally get.
It's not out of line on their with their markup on anything else.
That is true, but this is, again, this is supposed to be a set that is for the benefit of the players. This is supposed to alleviate the problems that people have with Modern, and here they are just basically profiteering from it.
But it's actually not going to bring the price of Modern down at all if no one get packs of Modern Masters.
They're marking it up the same percent over eBay that they always do. They're not profiteering any more than they profiteer on every single day of your sale.
No, but they had it initially at $200 for boxes, and it went to $220, $230, $270, now $300. Because every time they sold out of their allotment of whatever they had up.
Well, yeah. I mean, can you blame them?
Well, I mean, yeah, because I mean, put it like this. When SCG sets their price, that's the price. That's how the whole market becomes. That's where it's at. You know, that's basically what it becomes. And so people are scared, like, oh, shit, now it's like 220. I just seen it go from 220 to 230 to 270. Now I got to jump in before it goes too much, and all of a sudden it becomes a perpetuating cycle.
Sure, but like they sold out at 220. They raised the price, they sell out again. Like,
yeah, but I think especially I can understand with say maybe Commander's Arsenal. I wasn't so peeved about it, but just because of the nature of what Modern Masters was supposed to be, I would, if I was SCG, I would set a maximum margin that I would take on this product. You know? If it would sell out at 250, and you know that's what it was, and that's what I would take, and I'd be happy with it. I'm not gonna squeeze every last ounce of profit from this because I can.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. They're a business, so I have a hard time blaming them for taking advantage of capitalism.
Well, hey,
if the market's that fucking stupid, like if the market's like, fuck you, we're not going to pay $300 because we can get them for $200 on eBay. That would be one thing, but people don't say that.
Yeah, so I mean, how do you blame SCG?
No one ever says, fuck you, Star City.
Yeah, but there's a sense of corporate responsibility. And here right now is the same, fuck corporate responsibility, it's all about profit. And that's basically what it is. Like, fuck,
they don't have
fuck
a monopoly. They have fuck tons of competition. Like, honestly, if you did what they're doing in any other market, like, the market would take over and people would be like, okay, well, your prices are out of touch with fucking reality. We're not going to buy from you. But people don't do that because people are dumb and brand loyal and lazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, if their customers are supporting their prices, I'm not going to blame them for, you know, running a business.
Well, if they charge $400 a box and dumb fucks line up to pay $400 a box, is it really Star City's fault?
Nope.
Is it really Star City's fault? I don't think it is.
Not in this country. Like, I mean, that is capitalism. That is the point. More power to them.
If Star City is the only place that's getting boxes, that's one thing. But lots of other places are getting boxes.
I understand this. But I feel by being the market leader as they are, that they owe the community a greater responsibility than what they're doing by just fleecing the community. That's how I feel.
But nobody is forced to buy from them.
But people do. But see, the thing is, their price of sale. People buy from them. They're not. They're going to sell boxes at this price, and they have. And yeah, it's just a matter. But
if you pay that, that's your fault. That's not Star City's fault for charging that. It's your fault for paying it.
I understand that. I understand where you're coming from. I just feel that they're irresponsible by charging that much. I feel they should have capped it off at a certain amount. And if they feel that, yes, I need to maximize their profits, then that's a company that I don't want to really deal with. You know, that's right. To me, that's just irresponsible, and that's something that I consider, you know, exploit. Right.
Well, I mean, that's a real cost to them making the decision that they did, is that they might alienate some people, but...
No, they won't. They really... They.
I mean, they've obviously alienated Marcel.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not a fucking diehard. Like, the people are like, you should hear the stupid shit people say. We should say this for the cast. Like, the dumb shit people say, like, yeah. Oh, well, they've got really good customer service, and if you buy Near Mint from them, you know it's going to be Near Mint. And if I want to save money, I got to buy it from, like, this guy just constructed this fucking ridiculous straw man. He's like, I got to buy it from 30 different places, and my time's worth more than that. I'm like, really? Star City is the only place that's going to have the card in stock? Are you high?
I mean, here's the thing. Star City does have good customer service. Like,
no, they don't. They cancel my fucking orders all the time.
You're different.
Am I?
No, I've never had a problem with them. Not that I buy from them a lot, but I've had the one time I did have a problem with them, the customer service was fine. They took care of it. But, I mean, they obviously are doing something right if people trust them and are brand loyal enough to pay those prices. So, like I said, you know, if they can make that money and they run the risk of alienating people like Marcel who feel like they're charging too much, but at the same time, they obviously have loyal customers who are going to buy from them. So it is what it is. And if anybody doesn't want to pay Star City
and I don't, box, yeah, they're fucking Scientology.
Well,
does Scientology have a responsibility not to take those people's money? No, they don't. Like, if dumb fucks are going to line up to give their fortune away.
Yeah.
The Church of Scientology, let them. More power to them. That's fine.
I mean, I don't
think... They're always going to get those people. There will always be people with more money than brains.
This is why I don't shop at Walmart for reasons like this, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if I call Star City a cult, but if anyone doesn't want
to pay... Yeah, they're totally a fucking cult.
If somebody doesn't want to pay Star City $300 for a box, they can pay me $200 and I'll give them the same box. It's very simple. If you don't want to pay them, don't pay them.
But they got such good customer service, Corbin.
I mean, hey, that's good. They built a brand then, you know? Like, if they have people lining up to say that about them, they've obviously done a very good job positioning themselves as a company.
Or that's just cognitive dissonance.
I mean,
that's somebody finding out that they paid 30% above market and going, oh, well, you know, I'm going to construct this imaginary value that I pretend I got so I don't feel like such a fucking rube for paying 30% above market. That's what that is. That's not like anything Star City's done. That's people like cushioning the blow of, you know, a huge ass rape they just inflicted on themselves.
I mean, well, you know, that's fair. But I don't know. From a business standpoint, I just have a hard time, one, blaming them for charging what they're charging for the boxes. And two, like, you just got to commend them if they have diehards who are that loyal to their brand. I mean, they did something to create that.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
I'm going to say welcome, everyone, to Brainstorm Brewery. We're here at episode 53, right?
Is it 53? Yeah.
Sounds correct.
Actually, yeah, it is. Why don't we know this shit? No, what's wrong with it?
It's written on the show notes, but Corbin wrote it, so I assumed it was wrong.
Yeah, actually, you are correct there, sir. I would never think Corbin could change anything like a number on this spreadsheet, let alone open one.
I change it every week.
Finally, you do something. Now we gotta get Ryan to actually do something. Jason writes the show notes. I edit.
I am the talent.
I create the show notes.
I mean, isn't that what I'm here for?
Yeah, that's why you're here, Ryan.
Yep, you're here to get exposure for our cast to your almost as many Twitter followers as Corbin.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm going to hold. All right. So if that happens by Gen Con, I'm going to personally fund a party that is just going to be Ryan past Corbin and Twitter followers.
Why is this a thing?
Because you've been on Twitter for like a million years.
Oh, I haven't. I've been on Twitter as long as you.
That's a lie.
Okay, when did you get on Twitter, Ryan? Let's have this conversation.
A year and a half ago at most.
A year and a half ago. Well, I've been on Twitter for 2 years, so I have a couple months on
you. That's 6 months extra.
All right. This is really interesting.
Nobody
have cares. Have a pissing contest in the bathroom.
No one cares about a dick measuring contest when you're using a ruler with millimeters.
Oh, my.
That's what I'm saying. This is a stupid conversation.
So let's have let's have a quick conversation about Debridge and how we think maybe it might be a good time to sell them.
I said last week, if it didn't have a good weekend, you need to sell them while they're still $8. It did not have a good weekend, so sell them while they're still $8.
I mean, I don't know that I'm 100% with you on this one, but I think unless you plan on holding on to them for a little while, then sell them. Because they're probably going to take a drop, but I think at the same time, they're going to be back above $8 at some point. So
they have the potential to be.
Right. If you're doing short term flips, now's the time to get rid of them.
Quadrupled up, and you can't do much better than that.
Right. I mean, the Pro Tour isn't really going to impact the price much. It's block, right? So I mean, although we have seen in the past that these block cards rise after the block Pro Tour, even though nobody fucking plays block.
Well, they rise because they are, you know, a good preview for next week. Like next season. Which sometimes is next week. Anyways, that's the ones that rise is the ones that are the breakout cards that are going to be fixtures and standard, and you can kind
right.
of
see and I that. Think, and- yeah, and I think Chant has a chance to be that, but at the same time, I don't like the decks that I've seen people playing around with in block aren't able to utilize Chant even if you know they just, wanted I to.
And a problem be red versus Sphinx's Revelation. So.
Yeah.
And the problem is in the standard is so much incidental hate with graveyard removals type of situations that are just there, or even like you saying acidic slime, which takes care of the chance.
Yeah, the graveyard removal actually isn't a huge deal because if they like other than Rest in Peace, which I mean you still run Abrupt Decay in most of these decks anyway, you're already green black. But if they Tormod's Crypt your grave or something like that, that allows
they're doing
you to,
a favor.
Yeah, that allows you to select the best spell in your hand and cast it every turn until they put something else in your grave. So.
I mean, nobody's playing Tormod's Crypt. They don't play Rest in Peace.
Sure. But, I mean, again, you're running Abrupt Decay, so after you, you know, are done with that, you get whatever card you want back.
Yeah.
A lot of people are running Ground Seal because Jund's not running Rest in Peace. Jund isn't running Purify the Grave.
Right.
They're running Ground Seal, and Deadbridge Chant gets around Ground Seal while something like Obsidat's Aid or Burial Rites does not.
Right.
But either way, it takes a lot for this card to take it. It's gotten pretty high right now, and it could go higher, but we think, yeah, get out wide now.
I'm going to break even selling them at 8, which will be very quick because I will sell a quarter of the copies I bought at 2, you know, at 8 to break even, and then I'll probably double or triple up, and then I'll keep the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about where my plan is.
All right, so let's move into pick of the week. Who wants to start us off?
Corbin, was yours going to be Hero of Bladehold?
No.
Because I want to steal that.
It is not. That was Ryan who said that. Mine is not Hero of Bladehold.
I didn't see Hero of Bladehold.
I was going to because you wrote about it this week on Legit, and I was just going to hope that was yours and swipe it. But I have an actual one that I want to talk about if that wasn't going to be it. So you can just go ahead with yours, I guess.
I am probably jumping the gun in some other notes we have here, but Slow Scavenging News.
Yeah, Scavenging News, that was going to be mine. Scavenging
oh, motherfucker. Did you say... Wait, what are you saying about Scavenging News, though?
Sell them before it gets reprinted again. Like, and honestly, if you look at the graph on it, a year ago, it was $40. Like, it's already fallen to 30-ish in the last 6 to 12 months as Maverick has become less and less of a deck in Legacy.
Okay, good. That's my pick of the week still then, too, because I completely 100% disagree with you.
Okay, well, I say you get rid of them if you can, you know, with the 20 plus or whatever that you can get now, because once it gets reprinted at rare, it's going to be, you know, like $10, $15 max.
And we confirmed
it's getting
rare?
Reprinted as mythic.
It's getting reprinted as a mythic. That is not what the spoiler says.
That is what I was reading the other day, and I don't know, where's the thing at?
This
MTG Salvation?
Salvation calls it a rare.
It was a rare in Commander, and it doesn't feel like a mythic,
right.
But at the same time, a lot of those promo cards from the games have been mythics so far.
I mean, okay, that's all true. And the spoiler has it listed as a rare, so that could just be wrong.
Thragtusk was a rare. And how many times did that have to get reprinted before that came down to under $25?
I don't know if scavenger. Like, okay. So if it's a mythic and not a rare, like, it's good. But either way, there will be more copies on the market than there are now.
Yeah, and there will be twice as much demand. Because right. when Scavenging Ooze was a $40 card, it was Legacy and Vintage legal and only Legacy playable. Okay. Now it's Standard legal, Standard playable, Modern legal, certainly Modern playable.
Okay, so you think Thrag... So,
I think the demand... Like, Thrag Tusk wasn't even played outside of Standard, and look how expensive that got.
So find a Mythic that's playable, in multiple formats that isn't Standard right now. We can compare it to. Let's just figure this out right now. For me playing along at home, I guess this is honestly like as we're just going to do this on the cast here. This
even
is
if it's not mythic. Look at something like Noble Hierarch that was reprinted as a Judge foil, reprinted in all those foil packs. I don't know. I would compare a Judge foil to the PlayStation promo. It's probably the same number.
If you want a fair comparison, you need to just find a mythic that is in Standard that is also see play in Modern and Legacy. See what its price is, and then basically. Add some number of copies onto the market because that's what you're about to have when Scavenging News is reprinted. So unless
this card rivals Tarmogoyf in power, right? Like this card is going to see heavy Modern play.
I think so.
This card is going to see heavy Standard play. I mean, even if this card is a rare, I actually feel like if you can sell them for a good price right now, which you probably can't because most people are trying to stay away from them, then sure. But if you can't get a really good price, I feel like you just hold on to him because I feel it. I think the card sticks around 20.
I mean,
if it is a rare.
I think 20 maybe even low.
Right now it's 30. Like, so you go to your LGA.
No, it's 20.
Yeah, all Star City low, changed their price to 20.
The all-time low on this card on TCG Player was set today, and it is 29.18.
Okay, right. Well, they're behind the rest of the market.
Go to your LGS, find somebody who wants the card, which not everyone is up to date on the current M14 spoilers, because that's still a long ways off.
It doesn't matter. If somebody came to me and wanted to trade them at 20, I would take them. Like, it doesn't matter if they're current or not. I think if there's going to be people who want to get rid of them, and at the same time, I think there's people who are willing to just take that card because it's guaranteed money. That card is playable. The card is good. There's no way that card drops at 20.
I mean, I just wait for that card to... I wait for peak supply to hit the market from M14, and then I get all of them. But I don't think that it's going to go up in price from being printed. Now, if it's a mythic, that may be a different story. And if it is a mythic.
Yeah, I suppose I'm on the assumption that it's a mythic. But, I mean, even at a rare, I feel like you probably still comfortably trade for them at 20.
I mean, I came into this, well, yeah, if it's $30. Like, I get Star Cities at 20 because they're trying to get rid of theirs. Like, TCG Player still has it at $30. Like, I'm operating on that assumption and the assumption that it's a rare. I say you get rid of them.
And I'm kind of with Ryan, actually. Marcel, what do you think?
I sold my one copy I had on Moto.
Moto's a little different, I think, though, because you're, like, the access, especially if it's a rare, there's no way it can hold 20.
Right.
Moto.
Yeah. Now, if it is a mythic, I could be more in line with you guys. But like I said, we don't know right now, I guess, for sure. If it is a mythic, that would change my opinion a little bit.
I still think it's still gonna drop because, I mean, Thrag Tusk, it didn't come off hard like that. It took a while for it. It actually waited until it was no longer being drafted. And I think while it was being drafted, cards like this is going to make people want to draft the core set even more. And
here's one thing, though, that I think you guys haven't addressed, and I don't want to beat this card to death too much, but right now it's played in formats as a one of where Green Sun Zenith is legal. And Green Sun Zenith is not legal in Modern, nor is it printed in Standard. So this may be more than a one of. So I think this is going to increase demand a little bit more than you guys are anticipating.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would also be all over Standard. Like, I think the card's very good, especially right now with, you know, Junk Rites being deck and all of these things.
Yeah, but that's going to completely change. I mean, it'll be there for the little 3-month period.
Sure.
It's going to be insane because it's killing Snapcaster. Yeah, it kills Junk Rites, all that. It's a definite good hold.
It is going to be very good in Modern. Like I said, I just think we see where it comes down in M14 in terms of rarity, see how the market reacts to that news, and then go from there. I mean, I don't think that this is a decision you necessarily have to make today. I do know that there are some stores still buying this card at $22 cash, and I'm considering moving the couple I have at that price. And assuming.
You absolutely should. I mean, the market right now is 22. There's no way you can't pick them up even currently at 15.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, That's that's where I'm at. I say if you can still get rid of them for, you know, a real price like that, you do so, and then you just wait to see how it plays out with M14. But in terms of playability and all of this stuff, like, I agree entirely. The card's insane. It will be all over.
Yeah, I mean, they're printing Tarmogoyf in Standard again. That's pretty much the way I see it and what's happening.
Well, you said that when they printed White of Precinct 6.
Yeah, I feel like that card is also Tarmogoyf, and sadly the two don't work together.
Everything's a Tarmogoyf. Dire Sage, Tarmogoyf!
Yeah, I don't think it's quite there. I mean, you're not filling your graveyard as quick as you can as you would if with the Innistrad was legal and Standard.
Well,
I mean,
the reason is this so good is just because, like, it's the utility of it. Like, honestly, I think it's going to be better in Modern than it will be in Standard, especially after rotation.
Yeah, I think it's going to be kind of like a dead, you know, Deathrite Shaman, where it's going to be okay in Standard, but it's going to be...
It's Deathrite Shaman, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it actually makes me worry about the price of Deathrite Shaman a little bit.
I think you just play them both together and you just go your happy way.
They do
probably
different things, right?
Yeah, but they work... Like, if Scavenging Ooze becomes a big thing, Deathrite Shaman becomes pretty worthless.
Right, the Scavenging Ooze can beat Deathrite Shaman, but honestly, you probably just jam them in the same deck and you just...
Boy, that's a fun mirror match. It's like Prophecy. Leave mana open or die.
Right. It's just like whoever has the removal to kill the Scavenging Ooze, like whoever sticks the Scavenging Ooze wins, basically how that would work.
Oh, so it's Bitter Blossom, not Tarmogoyf.
Yeah, I mean...
You said Assemble the Legion was Bitter Blossom. Make up your mind.
They both are. Can't they
everything's Bitter Blossom.
Everything's everything in Ryan's world.
Exactly. Like, you have to compare cards to other cards to see the maximum potential. I'm not saying that they're going to be as playable, but, like, if you can compare them to a deck that you can utilize them the same, like, if there was a deck that could be used right at the precinct, it would fill the Tarmogoyf spot. Well,
and, I mean, that's exactly why, like, you know, we're looking for a card to compare this to price-wise from a core set, you know, a Mythic, playable in all formats, is because that's... Honestly, how we come to most of our conclusions about cards, you don't just, you know, abstractly view a power level and say, oh, it's this many dollars. Like, you base it off what cards that are similar in the past have done.
And right. I would like to mention, if it's a rare, though.
Is that what you do? I must be doing it wrong.
Corbin, if it is a rare, you want to talk about a card that's followed a very similar pattern and has actually saw less play than Scavenging Ooze, but Phantasmal Image. And that falls kind of in line with this, I think.
So wasn't it 15 to 20, even at the height?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, Scavenging Ooze right now is $30 on TCG Player.
Right, but I believe Scavenging Ooze would see more Standard and Modern play than Phantasmal Image would.
I mean, would it see?
Phantasmal Image was in a Legacy deck, like one or two of.
I mean, right. So Scavenging Ooze.
Well, it was in two or three, but...
I think Scavenging Ooze won't be a one or two of if it's in Standard because you can't Zenith for it.
Yeah, it'll be a 4 of. The card's very good. Before
Modern, I agree.
I mean, Jund loves that card.
Do we just all want to just talk about Scavenging Ooze, or does anybody else have one?
I think we just ate up what's it worth with Scavenging Ooze. Which is fine.
One green mana.
I think it's a relevant discussion to have, so.
Yeah, very relevant.
Destroy target segment.
Because this is something you guys always wanted. This is what we talked about, you know, last year. Yeah. Like, oh my god, what if Scavenging Ooze was in the Standard, and all of a sudden it's here, and you guys are like,
I don't know. I'm such a Maverick nerd, and I'm like, oh, Maverick, Punishing Maverick, Punishing Grove is so good right now, and everyone's like, you know, I think we'll just put Punishing Grove in Jund, which was my worst nightmare. But I guess at least I was right about Grove. But I still want Maverick to be a thing. That's probably my favorite Legacy deck ever.
I mean, it's only a thing.
Besides Slivers.
All right. So does anyone else have anything for Pick of the Week?
For Moto, I say Chandra's Phoenix. I say pick them up. This was announced to be an M14, and last year they reached about $4, $2 to $4. They were about at one point, so they're 5 cents right now.
Pardon me.
Oh, yeah.
Can we speculate about what kind of burn spell they're going to put in the set to support Chandra's Phoenix?
Chandra, the Chandra who they're calling the face of the set. I think
we're
getting a playable Chandra here, and it does. Phoenix.
Didn't they say that it was going to be all, it was the lore one? Or are they reprinting them all?
They're going to reprint probably some of them, but Chandra, they got to give a new face to Chandra because this one, the current one, is not one that.
They're all poopy.
They haven't made a good Chandra since Nalar.
Yeah,
like even Nalar was pretty, like, it seemed like the best one at first, and then Garrick.
I don't know if it ever seemed like the best one.
Garrick, or Chandra was the one that, like, right off the bat was seeing the most sales and stuff.
Yeah, the original Chandra was actually pretty solid.
Yeah, but that was like the biggest hype.
Because you're just like just dropping. It's like, well, X target Baneslayer seems fine.
Right. It was the most hyped Planeswalker of the five, if I remember correctly.
God, we're going like we're honestly, it's like weird for us to talk about, but talking about Lorwyn is like old now. If you really, it's 5 years ago, right?
Did you even play during Lorwyn?
I started playing in Lorwyn. I started playing in Shadowmoor.
Oh, didn't you just know the prices back then?
It's like ancient history.
It doesn't feel like that long ago to me.
I know.
It doesn't.
And
considering I can remember all my pre-releases all the way back to Urza, because I was sitting there and I missed this pre-release, and I was sitting there back thinking back to like my first pre-release, and I was like, oh my god, I remember going to like the convention centers in Novi back when it was only one pre-release.
And I remember driving to
it being like a 200. Yeah, it was like a 200 man event.
Yeah. I played Masks and Prophecy and Nemesis all at Pandemonium, like before I had a driver's license, and I had to have like our friends' dads drop us off there.
Yeah, I was living good out Lord. That way.
I was
yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I got back in with Ravnica, so I got to. This was completely nostalgia all over for me.
Oh, this is all super relevant for our listeners.
Yeah, well, this is actually, you know, because this is why we play Magic. You
know? Maybe our listeners actually want to know something about us rather than just being faceless people shooting up numbers.
They want financial information. That's
what they want. That's what they want.
That's what they want. Yeah.
And if they really want it, they should buy a shirt because we got 2 weeks and we still got quite a few more orders to get. So, you know, make sure you get your what's it.
We will put the link in the show notes again. We're nice guys.
Yeah, so buy a t-shirt. You know, support it. We're all going to have one there. We're going to be at GP Vegas one way or another with these shirts. So, speaking of GP Vegas.
Yep, knew that was coming. Good segue.
That was actually legitimately a good segue.
I know. Do it.
Yeah,
so we got the Vegas house. If you guys don't know, Brainstorm Brewery, Heavy Meta, Jinx Idols, Public Enemies. It's going to be quite a few people. We got Commander Dex is going to be there. So it's going to be quite the house. It's going to be fully fledged. We're going to have at least 3 kegs going on, barbecue going on, Jason cooking off against me, Saturday night barbecue.
Everybody wins when you guys cook off. I know that.
Everybody wins except us. There's going to be one loser, but the whole party wins.
Ryan and I are going
to... No, there's going to be two losers. I'm participating in this, too.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Well, I win.
So there will be a loser and Ryan.
Wait, so you guys are all cooking. So does that make me the sole judge?
That makes you... Shut up, Corbin. We're going to send you to the corner to go.
You got to go sleeve up the booze cube.
Yep, that's your job. Sleeve the booze cube and clean the pool.
I remember watching Marcel spend hours, like, cutting out, pasting and sleeving the booze cube cards at Gen Con, and we never played it.
Never.
Yeah, I stayed up and helped that one night. Neither one of us got any fucking sleep.
We were too bit. That was a crazy weekend, man.
This is going to be a crazy weekend too, but we are booze cubing. I don't give a shit.
Well,
who says?
Yeah,
we have 13 people in this house. There's no way we can't find a way to make this happen.
Well, we got the booze cube himself is staying in the house, so
it'll probably happen.
We're going to have a live stream. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, serious?
There's going to be a live stream coming out of my mouth into the backyard.
Oh, yeah. There will be.
If I don't throw up at least once, I'll be surprised.
Oh, my God. Classing up the cast right here, guys.
Oh, I just thought of a booze cube card called Prismatic Spray. I don't know what it does, but... Prismatic Spray or Technicolor Yawn? I haven't really decided.
That's wonderful.
Definitely an X-Spell.
Well, we got the community expansion. We're going to work on the one that we did last year. The loyal listeners that were there last year for our booze cues talks and actually submitted some cards that got there. We're going to work on the expansion with booze cue when we're in Vegas so we can have a face-to-face.
Have we decided what night the cookout is? It should be Friday, right?
Saturday.
Saturday, even though the tournament's going to go to like 10 p.m.
Yeah, we should do Friday.
Friday? It's got to be Friday.
Before the tournament, you want to have the big raging party?
Well, like the cook-off and stuff, because like if you do it Saturday, people are going to be straggling in and out. They're going to be tired. They got to get up for day two, all this. And the tournament will go to like 10 p.m. I feel like we have to do it on Friday.
Yeah, because we can start at like 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
And people
can
take off by midnight or so, you know?
Yeah, we can go into the GP in the afternoon and then come back and cook off and all that. And like it'll be good too for people, any of our listeners who are going to be there and want to come to the house, you know, that way you can come over, hang out, and then get back in plenty of time to rest up for the GP. But I once you hit Saturday, everything gets crazy.
I mean, ideally, I'd love to do Thursday night, but I don't know that enough people get in Thursday.
We do it Friday. We may booze cube on Thursday, right? And then cook out on Friday.
Well, I'm sure. We'll just get, like, I mean, my plan for Thursday is to go find a casino for a little bit, and then go booze cube my sorrows away.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
We'll figure out. We'll consult with the house and we'll come to a conclusion and we'll see what we come up with.
So if you're insane with jealousy hearing us speculate about our Vegas trip, you should make an effort to come out to Vegas. It's going to be the best GP in the history of ever.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to owe Ryan Fogo on our bed.
I was pretty sure the moment you opened your mouth, and I've not swayed in my resolve since then.
I mean, I'm thinking that I'm going to lose that one, which means we'll break even. That's fine.
Which means we have to go to Fogo twice.
It doesn't mean that.
In the same night.
It does not mean that.
It does mean that, Corbin. You won't. We're not. What's it going to do? Cancel out and we don't go to Fogo at all? That sounds like lame.
We go to Fogo and pay for each other's meals.
That's
awful. Guys,
you guys are
going to go to Fogo at the barbecue because we're just going to have all the best meat.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
I know.
That.
Corbin
is a little erotic there, Marcel.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Thank you, Jason.
Oh, that was meant to be less overt. I'm sorry.
All right, thank you.
I ruined your joke.
I try to do a decent segue, and this is what you come up with.
So for everyone who will be at Vegas, we hope you come up, talk to us, tell me to shut up, hang out at the house. You know, it'll be fun.
We should encourage people to wear their shirts.
I mean,
do that as well. I don't know. We got to have like something cool we can give away if people wear the shirts to the party.
We'll give them a party package. You'll get a party package if you show up with a Brainstorm Brewery shirt.
There you go.
Something only Brainstorm people with the Brainstorm Brewery shirts have. We'll get this package.
We'll know who listens to the cast because they'll just walk up and say, "Shut up, Corbin."
Oh yeah.
Well, and whether or not they're actually talking to Corbin.
So most people probably wouldn't even recognize me. So they just may walk up to random groups of people and yell, "Shut up, Corbin," to try to find us.
We're actually cool with that.
Yeah, that's hard to you.
And that's our new tagline. It seems to be that way. And the fact that Corbin is embracing it is even better. Took a while.
I'm here for your entertainment.
Speaking of entertainment, oh god, what a segue.
Good one.
There are no Canadians on the podcast, so
hey, what?
there's no good time to talk about the NHL playoffs, but I just gotta mention, it's gotta get some rub-ins in. I'm a Blackhawks fan living in the heart of Red Wings territory, and the Blackhawks destroyed the Red Wings 4-1 tonight. So yeah. Any Blackhawks fans on the cast,
I'm half Canadian.
Troll all your Red Wings fan friends.
I'm half Canadian. I am genetically predisposed to enjoy hockey, which I do.
But you live in Oklahoma.
I was watching the Thunder lose tonight. So hey, we have to play hockey here.
What is the closest? Is it probably the Stars, Dallas, right?
That's Dallas. Yeah. We had double-A hockey here for a long time. And before the Thunder came, that was the really huge sports draw, even though it was like terrible hockey in terms of like the level of the game. Now we have triple-A hockey and nobody cares because we have the Thunder, unfortunately. But I enjoy both. But yeah. So, you know, for those of you who don't care about hockey,
which is most Magic players, which surprised me. You think that would be the nerd sport of choice, but they seem to really get into basketball and football
and other stuff. What they really care about, though, the most is they like to hear when we fall flat on our face.
We do this. You know?
That's true. Sometimes we are the Red Wings of speculators.
Now we make it to the second round. Anyways. So the game here, I guess, is the worst specs we have ever made. This was a reader suggested topic or listener suggested topic. It seemed kind of like fun. So what is the worst spec you guys have ever made?
One of the worst.
Mutilate.
Really? I actually doubled up on the Momoto.
Yeah, I only doubled up. No, Mutilate actually wasn't that bad.
Jason's never lost money on a spec, guys.
No, oh my god, you know how much money I've tied up in seance right now? I didn't want to say seance because I don't want to steal Ryan's.
That's actually not my worst. So, I don't think it's the definition of a bad call because, like, I didn't lose money on it. It's a bulk rare. I bought it at bulk rare. Like, the worst thing that happens in those scenarios is you break even.
Oh, I mean, that's a good spec, then. I mean, that's why buying bulk rares is always so appealing on a spec.
So yeah, what is our worst spec? I don't want to hear about these bad specs that weren't specs.
I'm trying to think of what my worst one
would be.
I don't
know, like Master of the Pearl Trident, still about on the buy list what we paid for it, so it went up a little.
Well, I know like, my worst one, I could say, or one of the worst ones was Visions of Beyond.
Yeah.
This was, I believe, M12 or something.
Yeah. You seen it?
This was one mana for an instant. where you was it draw three cards?
No, you draw one
if they had 20 lands in their graveyard or 20 cards.
Yeah, 20 cards in the graveyard. Yeah.
So you draw one, draw three if they had 20 in the graveyard. So this this seemed like, oh no, the coming of Ancestral Recall. This is going to be insane. And I bought a bunch of them at like a dollar on Moto, and then I saw it tick up a little bit, and then the price slowly drop and drop. And I kept holding out because I didn't want to just accept the loss that I made. And then I just lost a bunch of money.
My worst one, probably Splinter Fright. I bought 94 of them when we started getting, I think it was Dark Ascension cards spoiled. I was like, oh yeah, there's going to be more graveyard, blah, blah, blah. This has got to be good. And it didn't work out at all. And I think they're floating around in my house somewhere. I've just lost them or ignored them out of apathy because it obviously never happened. I mean, I didn't pay a ton, but I certainly wasted the $20 or $30, $40, whatever I spent on them.
There have been a lot of cards I targeted in trade that never went anywhere. Like, I picked up a lot of Scob Ruinators and Drogskull Reavers in trade. But if I'm spending my cash, I think a lot of us use a technique of, like, buy a bulk and you can't lose. So that's why Ryan and I really didn't take a bath on Seance. Because, you know, a few months from now when it has never done anything besides, you know, some player's been playing Magic for 3 months, 12-0-ing a 25K in Chicago. You know, besides that irrelevant finish, it never really did anything. I guess we're just going to sell them for what we paid for them and not really lose all that much money. So it's all upside, really, if you buy in, like, close to bulk. So, like, I spent a lot of money on Collective Blessing, but I got it all back when I got out of it. So it's not like, oh, we never lose money on specs. We set ourselves up for success. If there's something that's a few dollars that I want to target in trades, like I'm currently trading for Thalia, I'm currently trading for Deathrite Shaman and stuff like that. I don't have my own money, you know, cash tied up in it. I tend to spend my cash on stuff like Deadbridge Chant.
So tell me a trade that made your heart wrench. I mean, after you made it and you just really had, you know, a pretty big lump in your throat for a couple of days.
Yeah, where you like mispriced a card or something like that.
Oh, I went to a shop and they had a foil unmask and they didn't have any of the prices on the card. So they looked it up and quoted me the price for unmask, which is like, what, $4 or $5? So I was like, all right, $4 or $5 seems fine because that sounded like the non-foil price to me. I hadn't been value trading for very long. I traded it out at 15. And I was like, ha, I tripled up on this unmask. And then our buddy John was like, you know, that's like 30, right? Because at the time it was. So that felt real bad. Even though I tripled up, like I didn't sextuple up. So.
Man, I went through that. I went through the ringer on Stoneforge Mystic because of that. Like I got a bunch. I speculated on it cheap, like, which was good. And it went up. And then I got rid of all of them. And then it like quadrupled.
I did the exact same thing at GP Toronto. I traded him to a vendor because the vendors were paying three cash American. Yeah. And I had bought them for like a quarter and they never, they printed Sword of Body and Mind. The card went nowhere. And so I was talking to Ryan up in Toronto. I was like, dude, this dealer's paying three American. He's like, yeah, ship them. And I was like, yes. I traded in like seriously like 50 of them and bought Force of Wills, all this crap. Like I was so happy. And then the card hit 25. I paid 25 cents. And could have gotten $25. Selling them for three felt really bad, even though it was 12 times what I paid. Yep.
That's exactly what I did.
That felt real bad.
I also had I'll share this story because I think it's a good learning lesson. It was for me. When Stoneforge Mystic and Jace when they were banned in Standard, everyone was like, oh, okay, the deck has to be Valakut, because Valakut was the best deck before Stoneforge came along and forced it out. So I went in and bought a bunch of Primeval Titans because I was like, well, this just has to be it, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I order them off of wherever I order them and I'm waiting for them to come in. And I watched the price on eBay for Primeval Titan. And this happened maybe what, 2 or 3 weeks before, M12 came out. So it was about to be reprinted. So I was watching it on eBay and after the unbanning the next week, it went up and up, but I made the mistake of waiting until I received my copies to list them on eBay. So that ate up, you know, between them getting here and me listing them probably a week. And then, you know, I maybe farted around for a day or two to list them. And then it was a week later that they finally sold. So basically, like, I missed the boat there because I did the right thing. And I got in on the card when it was cheap and then it went up. But because of I didn't account for that time, the shipping time and the transaction time, I ended up losing some money on them. just because it took too long. And that's something you have to keep in mind when you're doing these speculating, is you either have to make the decision to sell them before you have them in hand, or you just, and you know, and take that risk, or you have to account for the time it's going to take you to process them.
Yeah, that's that is a good lesson. I agree with you.
Ryan, you've been quiet. What do you got?
I know I've had like a bunch of bad ones. Just trying to think if there's anything like, I mean, I guess my bad trade, quote unquote, is like in a different manner. Like I felt really bad. I traded this guy for his entire binder, actually. And he wanted a bunch of Pokemon cards or something. I don't even remember. But whatever it was, I happened to have them. I'd picked up a collection with them. He really wanted those and wanted to get out of his Magic stuff. And so I was like, he'd had this stuff sitting at home for years. And so I started looking through the binder, and I'm like, okay, whatever. And, you know, it's one of those people who pack like 4 or 5 copies of a card, be, you know, in a binder. And so here I am thinking, you know, it's 4 or 5 copies of this bulk common he's got in the front. So I'm not checking each individual one, which I do now for this reason. And then I start getting towards the back of the binder. I see a little bit of money. So I'll make this trade. I get home and I start looking through, and there was at least 7 or 8 dual lands behind this stuff and just stuff like that. I felt miserable after trading with this guy.
That's a really terrible spec, Ryan.
Well, no, but like we were talking about, he was saying that gut-wrenching trade. That would be, I guess, mine. As far as a spec goes, I think Knight of the Reliquary, even though I made a bunch of money off of it, like I sold Knight of the Reliquaries when they were like 8 to 10 because I never thought they could be 15 to 20 because that was unheard of for a rare at that time.
But I think we shouldn't let that make us afraid. Because no. I think we've all written an article about this, about how, okay, you know, it's easier to know when a card's going to go up than, you know, when a card's peaked. Because right. I definitely sold Thunder Mihalkites when they were 20 and then they hit 30. But I bought them at 10, so it didn't feel too bad. Because Corbin's always saying, leave, you know, X percent for the next guy. So I think if you make an amount of money you're comfortable with, even if it's not the full potential, like, how bad do I feel about that unmasked because I tripled up? I think for our listeners out there, if you've made an amount of money that you're comfortable selling at, don't be afraid to sell and think, oh, I got to hold on to this. I got to hold on to this because it could go up. It could go up more. Once you're comfortable, you should never feel bad if you sold a little bit too early, because if you made money, then you made money. If you sold early and lost money, then, you know, well, you did it wrong. But if you sell early and you still like double, triple, quadruple up, you got nothing to feel bad about. And it shouldn't make you afraid next time to sell when you think the card has peaked, or at least it's where you think you're good making that amount of money.
Yep, I agree.
So, moving on.
Do we want to turn it around and do best ever? That was the other suggestion in the email. I don't know if we just turns into a little brag.
That comes into a jack-off session.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. We've all done well in some specs and worse on others.
Yeah, because I can only imagine. I mean, I asked for the bad, the worst, and I got a whole bunch of good stuff. So, you know.
I get some pretty bad ones.
All right. My best feeling one has nothing to do with actual. No. This one isn't a brag session at all. This one is people in the financial community know who Peter Yong is.
We do.
And this is my story about getting one over on Peter Yong.
Wait, hold up, Ryan. Explain it home, because there's probably plenty of people who don't. Explain who it is.
Okay. Peter Yong is Peter Yong Bulk Wear Squad. I don't really know any better way to say it. But he goes around and trades for your bulk rares and more or less gives you 10 cents on your bulk rares towards his prices on his rares, which are a little bit under Star City at these Star City events and stuff. And it's just kind of a scummy thing to do, like, and then he goes up to the booth and sells them. And the guy's just generally pushy and aggressive. Like, that's fine. If you want to trade that way and people are okay with it, I don't care. But the moment you start being really aggressive about it and, you know, just forcing people to feel like they have to trade with you, that's when it becomes unacceptable.
Yeah, and this guy has no personality. He just sits down and just stares at you while you give him your bulk, and he lies to you about what cards are worth and so on.
Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, trading with Peter, and I knew that Shocklands had, this was when they were in Standard, had just gone up a bunch. And I also was, like, beginning to learn that this guy didn't, like, he looked up prices at the beginning of the weekend and didn't look them up during the weekend. And they had spiked on, like, a Friday. And I remember him taking a bunch of bulk rares, which were almost all time spiral, like, time shifted cards that most people won't take as bulk rares. and Homelands and Fallen Empires, and I smashed them into, I think, like 12 fetch lands at the time for like 8 apiece. And that's definitely my best feeling trade, like 100% hands down. Messing with that guy was awesome, and I don't think anybody would have been any angrier at me for doing it.
It felt pretty good to quadruple up on Deadbridge Chant after so many people told me we were wrong about that card.
We weren't.
You haven't quadrupled up till you sold them.
I've sold a lot of them.
All right, so anything else we want to talk about this week?
There's no way we can be done already.
We actually have time for What's It Worth if you guys wanted to do
it. Oh, yeah, there you go. Let's do that.
We haven't done that in a very long time, and I don't...
Yeah, we've had too much going on. I guess we actually have some time this week.
Yeah, this
people
is a
come
very...
up to me on the street constantly and say, Jason, why haven't you guys done What's It Worth on the podcast? And that terrifies me because how do they even know what I look like?
You're the drunk guy in the corner with the lampshade on his head.
I'm not even wearing my special Shut Up Corbin t-shirt.
Available
from Teespring. Links in the show notes.
He has it carved into his chest. Branded. He got Shut Up Corbin branded.
Wow. All right, so who wants to go first here?
I'm calling last.
Calling last.
Oh, man. All right, give me a minute. Let me figure something out.
Okay, I've got one.
Go for it.
Cool Stuff, Inc. Price for a foil Felidar Sovereign.
Ooh, what card is that?
Felidar Sovereign costs 1,000,000 mana. It's like 4 and 2 white. It's a 4/6 Vigilance Lifelink, and at the beginning of your upkeep, if you have 40 or more life, you win the game. So Soul Sisters was running that as a one of, as like an instant kill con, I think. 40 life is pretty achievable in EDH. Is this card banned?
No.
Which is really good.
Yeah, it's
really
good.
It's really good in EDH.
I like
it.
Pretty achievable, as in you start with that much life.
Yeah.
$30 for a foil.
Okay. 30. Ryan?
I feel like the regular ones are 7/8, so, and I don't know, this feels like a card that could be worth a ton, but I think it's not that much more of a double, like 15 to 18, somewhere in there.
Interesting logic. Okay, Marcel?
I was going to shoot for 20. I have no idea.
Okay, so what my reason for picking this card was we talk about how it's a real hit in EDH, so I figured you guys would all assume it was way more. The non-foil on Cool Stuff is $10. The foil is only 14. So yeah, that really kind of surprised me. That's why I picked it, because I thought it would be a lot more.
Does that tell us it's not an EDH card? It's just a casual card?
It could. I definitely trade Felidar Sovereigns out very well to casual players. They really tend to like this guy.
I thought it would be much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, I figured it'd be closing in on 20.
I actually lost a bit of money trading for one because I just went in blind saying, you know what, the non-foil on this is about 8, so I do 16 on it. And, you know, neither one of us looked it up. I picked it up for 16, and when I got home, I realized it was not 16, and also the card was a little bit of damage that I didn't see in the perfect fit. So maybe that was my worst feeling trade. Who knows? So I definitely got blown twice on this guy. But, assuming a playable card foil is going to be at least twice as much is not bad logic on my part, and I don't like to use the phone, so that serves me right for not knowing the price.
I agree. That is very interesting, though.
Yeah.
So, what is the foil price for Armadillo Cloak, the original?
Isn't that the only way you can get it foil, or was this like a? Because I know it was in that dual deck. Was there an FNM Armadillo Cloak?
I didn't play back then.
I feel like there was. I definitely remember there being a promo version.
Yeah, there was a promo version.
Yeah.
Is this the invasion foil?
This is the invasion foil.
Hmm.
On Cool Stuff?
My guess is going to be like $5. I think the regular ones are like $1.
I bet the regular ones are $1, but I think the promo's probably only like 3 or 4.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of those FNM promos end up around 3 or 4, so I'm actually going to say 3 or less.
I'll say 5.
Okay, it's $3 for the Armadillo foil, the Invasion foil, but you can get the promo foil, which will be for $2.50.
Huh.
That's not bad.
So you got this new card that came out to replace it, the new Armadillo Cloak, which, you know, don't expect it to do too much.
I mean, it actually shows up in Standard, right?
It's actually strictly worse. I don't. It shows up in standard, sure, but it's strictly worse than Armadillo Cloak. They took away, they gave it lifelink, so the old Armadillo Cloak, in a pinch, you could put on your opponent's creature to sort of negate the damage it dealt you. And the way the new cards. It says whenever the creature deals damage, you gain that much life. So if they hit you, it hit you for four, you gain four.
Doesn't the creature gain that ability, though?
No, it says whenever enchanted creature deals damage, you gain that much life. That is literally word for word what Armadillo Cloak says. The new one just grants it lifelink. So if you put it on their creature, they'd gain the life.
Right.
Yeah,
but Armadillo Cloak you could put on their creature to make sure, like, if it hit your creature, you'd gain the life. That's the whole reason for not just doing a strict reprint of Armadillo Cloak. They had a functional reprint so they could reformat the ability and just give it lifelink. True story.
They moved from that wording to the, you know, when they keyworded lifelink. So that's interesting. I actually never thought about that.
That's what Spirit Link was used for back in the day, actually. It was pseudo removal.
Huh.
Well, there you go. The changing of magic and functionality is no longer the same. Like when the stack guy, when they got rid of the stack, attacking on the stack and damage on the stack, that was a big change for me in magic. I thought it went all bad.
Yeah. And I felt like, obviously I felt bad when I was learning to play and didn't know how damage on the stack worked, but I felt terrible when I did damage on the stack tricks to other people.
Oh, really?
Are we stalling?
No, I got one.
I feel like we're stalling.
I got one. Well, Marcel mentioned that. It made me think of it. I remember feeling like very dirty doing that to people when I learned how to do damage on the stack. So I guess that's a change I'm glad they got rid of. But anyways, okay, I got one for you. Give me the foil price on Shroom the Hegemon.
Not the reprint.
Set foil.
Mm-hmm. Set foil Shroom.
$12.
Is it, what was this, FTV Legends?
Something like that, yeah.
Yes.
12, Marcel? I'm going to actually take the high on this one and go 13. 13 and up.
I feel
Brian's
like
it's going to say 13.50.
I feel like it's probably more than that. I had a feeling it's closer to 20.
Well, what's the FTV? Because that's actually a better looking foil, and that's probably nothing, right?
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
Yeah, this is, I mean, it's one of those that actually is a popular commander, but I, you know, sometimes hear people complain about it because it's too good or too spiky or whatever. But the answer is the From the Vault one is $4 and cool stuff. The Near Mint regular one is $3. The foil is $12. So Marcel nailed it.
Did Marcel say 12 exactly?
He did.
You got it.
Nice.
A broken clock is right twice a day, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm with Ryan in that, you know, if somebody came up to me on the street with this, like, I would have said a regular one was $4 or $5, and I would have pegged the foil at 20 because it's one of those, you know, staple.
Yeah, 20 was, yeah.
So
yep, I thought 20 was reasonable, which is why I said 13 and up because I wanted to be right.
Well, I guess it's like part of it is probably, you know, with like every time Wizards makes a new card aimed at commander, at being a commander, and there's a lot of them, you know, you dilute the commander pool. So, like, you know, maybe where 2 years ago there were really only, like, a handful of really popular ones you could count on being worth a lot of money. These days there's so many commanders that and so many new legendary creatures that Wizards are printing specifically at commander players, it kind of, you know, dilutes the pool there, brings prices down.
That's fair. All right, my turn?
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Go to the end. This is the end of Brainstorm Brewery. Thank you.
This is the end of Brainstorm Brewery?
we will quit this whole cast just so Ryan doesn't get a turn.
That's fine. Mine's fairly lame anyway, but it's just a price that really surprised me, as much play as this card's seeing. Huntmaster of the Fells. What is the price of that guy?
He's 8. See, I know he's 15 on eBay, so I want to say, like, Cool Stuff's probably got him 17.50.
I'm going to say 18.
Yeah, I'll go for 16, yeah.
Corbin, why don't you just say 17.51?
I'll go down to 15, actually. I'll even go to 15.
Oh, I don't know if Cool Stuff is charging less than eBay. Not with that incredible Cool Stuff Inc. discount that you can get.
All right. So, actually, I thought you guys would guess a little higher than this. I thought the card was still at 25. And based on how much play Jun's been seeing, I expected it to jump back up to 30 for a little bit. But it's actually $19.99 on Cool Stuff. It is still a little bit higher than you were giving it credit for, but much lower than it has been in the past.
I just buy-listed some of these that I had bought, and I was surprised by how little I was getting, because I also thought you know, and this was a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I thought it was in that 25 to 30 range even, and I expected to get $20 on it, and I did not, so.
It's still seeing a ton of play, and I have a playset. Nobody in my shop wants them, and I'm just going to jam on eBay tonight at $14.50.
Yeah, like, I mean, not all the gen lists even play it anymore is part of it. And yeah, I mean, we're inching closer to the summer and to rotation, so I guess. Yeah.
Who really wants to drop $100 on a playset of these things
right.
so close to rotation? So
yeah,
the demand's not there anymore, even though it gets a lot of play. I think the people that got them a year ago just kept them.
I mean, do we think, and this probably isn't, if we still have some time, not a terrible conversation to have. I mean, do we think, is it another month before kind of the bottom starts to fall out on buy prices on these rotating standard cards, or has it already happened?
I'm starting now. This is the earliest I've ever started, but I feel good about starting now.
Me too, honestly.
Yeah, you're starting to see the modal price, especially on some of the cards, they have dipped down. Like the same time with Dark Ascension, around Dark Ascension with the Scars of Mirrodin. You've seen maybe like the sword was the only card that really held its value. Everything else kind of dipped about 25%.
Yeah, and you know, you expect the retail price to drop, you know, closer to rotation, but you really, it hits the buy prices first because stores don't want to be picking them up anymore. And I'm already seeing it.
Yeah, it's different. Sorry, Moto's different. Yeah, the buy prices are usually a few dollars cheaper. Margins are much more thinner, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, and it moves a little more organically than the paper market does because the store just decides to drop their buy prices long before the retail price drops.
Yep, yep. So anything else this week, or are we about ready to close it out?
Shut her down.
Close her
down. I know
up.
What Ryan thinks because he yawned before he asked.
Yeah. Actually, I'm just sitting here thinking about Vegas, and I'm starting to daydream about how awesome Vegas is going to be. So before I keep talking about that subject, we should probably get off the podcast.
Oh, you know what else is awesome? The road trip leading up to Vegas. I'm just as excited about that as I am Vegas.
Yep, and it's going to be fun.
It's going to be freaking sweet.
And I only have to miss one friend's wedding.
We were trying to convince him to miss his own wedding the other day on Twitter, and he'd have none of it.
It's not like he couldn't get married in Vegas very easily.
Or to someone else.
That would have...
he listens to this podcast.
I'm just saying, women are like... women are all over the place.
How does your girlfriend feel about that sentiment, Ryan?
I mean, there's a mutual understanding.
We know she doesn't listen to it because Ryan would not say this to her.
No, I mean, people come and go. Like, I'm happy right now. It doesn't mean that you can't find somebody better. I've told her that she's you know, down dating or whatever you call it anyway. So,
but she knew that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows that.
The views of this podcast do not reflect that of our sponsor. Please say that.
Our sponsor is actually very fond of Ryan's girlfriend and thinks she's a nice lady.
I don't think he knows my girlfriend. Although Corbin added her on Facebook already, as he creeps and does every time.
Somebody's going to tell Ryan's girlfriend this is not going to end well for him, so I'll do you a favor and stop us now. So I guess that's the cast for the week then. I'm sorry for those of you who aren't going to Vegas and are tired about hearing us talk about it. It's only another 5 weeks or so we'll be talking about it. And then 5 weeks after.
No, in 5 weeks we won't be talking about the Vegas anticipation. We'll be talking about how great it was
right.
for at least two or 3 weeks after.
And we're going to be doing a live cast in Vegas, right?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be several streams. If you really want to get hear the hype, listen to Heavy Meta. They're excited about Vegas. They had BoozCube on their last episode. So, yeah.
It's going Does to he be have insane. A name?
His name's Scott.
No.
You're right. BoozCube is better.
But yeah, it was a pretty interesting episode. They actually did a whole little, they did a Maze Runners, which is a collection of, that fit in with the expansion. So it's all going to come together and we'll have something awesome coming out in Vegas. So you got to check it out. You got to check out the stream, everyone, because the stream is going to be where it's at, because you're going to see people throwing up in their hats. You know, you passed around the, Buffalo Wild Wing Cup.
Oh man, I can't wait for that. I forgot the.
I wish we'd never designed that card because that's gonna bite me and Ryan the hardest. I just know.
No, there's only one person who's gonna have a drink out of that, and it's gonna be Corbin every time. Come on, let's be realistic.
That sounds. You talking about the stream with people? That sounds so appealing. I'm sure people are just brimming over with excitement to watch that.
Oh, they better be, because if they don't want to see that, then, you know.
I want to see vomit come out of Corbin's nose.
Okay, this is the end of the podcast.
We've hit that line.
I want to drive him to the hospital.
Oh, I wasn't planning on a hospital trip.
This is
I want to drive him into the desert.
There you go.
We'll have a paramedic on site, though, for the party, at least.
We will?
Yeah. Revised Angel will be there.
Heather lives in Vegas.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Ryan and didn't know how to pronounce paralytic.
All right, that was a good podcast, guys. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't say anything else terrible.
I gotta wake up in 4 hours, right? Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.